great to be back with you again, and to all of our fathers here present, happy Father's Day, a civic holiday I take particular pride in myself as a father, although not a natural father, I promise you, just a supernatural father in the order of grace. I want to spend my time this morning giving a theological reflection on the importance of fatherhood in the Catholic dispensation as it intersects with our civic observance of this day honoring all of our dads, both living and deceased. And I think I'll do this in two parts. The first is just to give a reflection on the idea of where all of the idea of priests being fathers comes from. And then on a more natural level, where biological fatherhood and its spiritual paternity as a head of a family comes into play as well. Now, I realize by giving this homily, perhaps some, if not many of the women present here today may say, well, I'm tuning out because I'm not a dad or a father, so this has really nothing to do with me. Not true. You have sons and brothers and uncles and friends, people that you can support in their fatherhood. And so this is eminently important, not just for the men, but for everyone in the church. So first, funny story. When I was a relatively newly ordained priest, I had a little Honda CRV, took it to the Honda service station for its annual service, or its, I guess, every 60,000 mile service, whatever it was. And I pulled into the service bay, and on my dash at the time, I had a little holy card of St. Jose Maria Escriva de Balaguer, the founder of Opus Dei. And I have a devotion to St. Jose Maria. All of my spiritual directors in seminary were priests of Opus Dei. And so I had this little holy card. And in the picture, it is very clear St. Jose Maria is a priest. Okay, he's wearing a Roman collar. So the gal who checked in my car checks the mileage. She sees the holy card. She sees my Roman collar. And she sees the holy card again. And she says, "Aw, is that your dad?" Okay, my Latino brothers who were helping get the car prepped for taking into service looked at her and said, and looked at me and said, "Esta loca, she's crazy." Okay. Now, it was kind of an awkward moment because I said, "No." Okay, I mean, think about that. But in a moment, I thought, well, maybe she's onto something here. Okay, because I do look to St. Jose Maria as a spiritual father in terms of his spiritual connection that I have with him, although I never met him. And he's certainly not my biological father, that's for sure. But nevertheless, there's a spiritual kinship that we share. But even think about yesterday, up at the cathedral, we had ordinations to the priesthood. It was so beautiful to see not only one of my students, now Father David Meese, who, by the way, will celebrate his first Mass at IHM in Belmont at 11:30. That's where I'm headed to after this, to celebrate that Mass. But what was so beautiful was right before the Mass, as all of the priests were gathered in the vesting area to prepare for the procession into Mass, so many of my recent former students, literally ordained in the last several weeks, were all gathered there vesting. We were asking for first blessings. Some of them were shaking as professors knelt in front of their former students, asking for their first blessing as a priest, kissing their anointed hands in thanksgiving for the sacrament they had received. And Catholics instinctively call priests father. It's not a title, like I earned it, okay? I was ordained. On our faculty at St. Patrick's, the faculty call all of us priests father, not doctor, even though we all have doctorates, even though we are academic peers, and we are mano a mano, punch for punch, as serious thinkers about theology and the faith as our lay counterparts, but they know we're different because we can consecrate the Eucharist. We can absolve their sins. We will be with them bedside when they die, holding their hand from this life into everlasting life. Now, Jesus has a lot to say about Father, even the fact that we call him Abba, Father. The Lord's Prayer begins with the words, "Our Father," but the Pater Noster. So these are all very much woven in, but you notice what Jesus even says, "Call no man Father, just after teaching us to call God our Father. The hyperbole, the exaggeration, makes the greater point that all fatherhood finds its roots in God's paternity over the human family. And so fatherhood is not generated on one's own, but is a participation in God's ultimate spiritual fatherhood of the entire created order. Now, let me then break it down in terms of a more localized version of this, which may impact more of the men here in particular, but again, impacts all of us. We know in the contemporary culture that fatherhood is under immense attack. In fact, I think that probably the iconic caricature of the hapless, clueless, dummy father is Homer Simpson. It may have been before that, but I know Homer Simpson is definitely one of the icons of one of the dumb, hapless fathers. It's, I believe, in part what subconsciously caused many a wife who has three kids to look at her husband and say, "Sorry, father, I have four." I hear that all the time, and it breaks my heart. So fatherhood is under attack, not even just in the popular culture, but from within the family. So often, when I'm giving spiritual direction, either to seminarians or to other people, so often one of the things that we have to tackle on some level is a deep, deep father wound. Deep father wound. It's immense. Where did that come from? Neglect, a lack of presence to the child, no spiritual headship or connectivity, kind of like Homer Simpson, actually, more or less. Men not sure what to do. They're supposed to be the spiritual heads of their family, but so often they abdicate that role in favor of the alpha mom, who says, "Well, somebody's got to get it done, so I'll usurp that role." Okay. This is very, very, by the way, personal to me in my own experience of family. My parents are divorced. So I know all of the travails of exactly what this looks like, live through the whole thing. It, trust me, it was weird as a deacon to witness my mom's second marriage. That is weird. So I'm well aware of the ravages of what the father wound has caused. It is immensely painful in society. But what are fathers supposed to be doing rather than abdicating their spiritual headship? You know, you notice at daily mass, most of the people at daily mass are women. You don't see that many men. And I don't mean men who are of working age and women of working age. I'm talking about retirees. I mean, are all the men playing golf every day? I mean, really? I mean, are they always not here? There's this piece of the culture that almost says anything that's spiritual is feminine, and that belongs to the women to deal with to raise the children in the faith. The dad's job is to provide and to protect. That's it. But that's half the story. The other half is the spiritual headship that fathers are supposed to exercise by initiating prayer, by making sure that the standard of the family is that we go to mass, we practice the faith, we are serious about a personal relationship with Jesus. People often ask me if all of these thoughts are somewhat anecdotal. They're not. They're actually scientifically backed now. A few years back, the McGrath Institute at the University of Notre Dame in Indiana released the results of a 10 or 15 year study, I believe, tracing the number one reason for why Catholic young adults still practice the faith. That was a question they sought to answer. Why do Catholic young adults who were raised Catholic still practice the faith? And many people hypothesized before the study's release that it would be they went to Catholic school. They went to Mass on Sunday. They went through RE and CCD, and they did all this religious ed. They were active in the CYO. None of those were even close to the number one factor by far. The number one reason, or the number one cause, besides God's grace, of young adults in the Catholic Church today practicing the faith is whether or not their dad did. If their dad was a practicing Catholic, the children were 85 to 90% likely themselves to be practicing Catholics. That's a remarkable statistic. The dad. See, we think it's all programs and, you know, all these different things going on in the church. It's not programs. The program is in the family. That's the program. It's already there. Or how about Dr. Meg Meeker, a pediatrician in Michigan, who has done extensive research over a medical career of 40 years. The number one predictor of a young woman's sexual history in terms of promiscuity or not is based on her relationship with her father. By far. Meeker was shocked. She was shocked by her findings. She was not expecting it. In fact, she wrote a book called Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters to explicate all of this data and how it, after a while, became very clear to her the woman, young woman's relationship with her dad was the number one predictor of how she would behave as an adult and, even more importantly, the kind of man she would look to marry. It has everything to do with dad. So you see, the evil one loves to attack fatherhood, whether it's in the priesthood or natural fatherhood, because he knows if he can knock that pillar of society out, he's really got us in a vice. So it is so incumbent upon us to support our fathers in whatever way we can. And here I don't just mean our biological fathers. I know there are many men out there, I've been the beneficiary of a number of them, praise God, who have served as mentors, spiritual guides, helps in my life. Without some of them, I probably would not have even discerned a vocation to the priesthood. And they, too, also need our affirmation and our support and our love. And I hope that all of us today remember in our prayers not only our biological fathers, but also those in our lives, especially those spiritual fathers who have helped create for us, in a way, an ambiance where we can grow in sanctity and in faith. Let us pray today that we will cherish and love all of our fathers, both living and deceased, that for those of us who have not had good relationships with our dads, that by the grace of God, we will learn to forgive them. Sometimes they knew not what they did. And let us pray for all those young men who are seeking to live the vocation of fatherhood now and in the future, that here in the church they will find a place where spiritual headship is honored and valued and promoted, not only for their own good and the good of their families, but ultimately for the salvation of souls. May Jesus Christ be praised, both now and forever.